pleasure to be here to tell the Anglo-American story. So let me start with a very simple story up front. Today, after 4 years, we are a much more efficient business. The number of assets are down 40%, headcount down 39%, about half of that reduction as a consequence of asset sales, the other half as a consequence of restructuring and efficiency work. At the same time, our overall production is actually up 8%. And as a consequence, our unit costs are down 31%. So we are actually today producing more for a hell of a lot less. And as a consequence, the free cash flow turnaround in the business over that same period is about $4 billion. We're delivering cash and we're delivering the returns we promised back in 2013, despite having a 23% lower price on our commodities. I won't dwell too much on the macro. I think Ivan's done a great job in sketching out the scene. For us, a couple of things to point to. We, like Ivan, think the world, despite volatility and some stresses, is still in a pretty good place and will continue to grow. We think we have a unique commodity suite that will be advantaged by what we see in certainly the short to medium term, and Ivan talked about some of those commodities. For us, though, we think the world will be, and commodity prices in particular, will be volatile, and so as a consequence, the way we think about running the balance sheet and running the business is a very important consideration in terms of how we're setting up Anglo-American to be successful in the longer term. I'm just fixing my microphone here. Good. So, for us, it starts with commitments. We always talk about safety and environment up front because I think from an operations perspective, a well-run business is a business that should be doing well in both safety and environment. For us, 2016 was a disappointment, but certainly 2017 has been a much better start for us on the safety front. And so we expect to continue our improvement trends. On the environmental side, a lot of work in changing the disciplines. We made a lot of changes in the business in 13 and 14, stopped operations, changed the way we were operating, and so the environmental performance has been significantly better than what it was. And for us, when you look at the improvements across safety and environment, they mirror, not surprisingly, the performance in productivity and operating costs. So for us, a very important lead measure in terms of the performance of the business. Since 2013, it has been very much a self-help story, picking up on Jason's theme. The implementation of our operating model has been quite unique in the industry, and for us, it's been a key driver in the improvements that we've achieved. To 2016, a $3.1 billion improvement on EBITDA reflects both volume and cost improvements in those assets where we focused our efforts. And we're forecasting another $1 billion improvement for this year, and so far we're pretty well on track. And we're also, in the last 3 years in particular, been investing in innovation, and that work should start to pick up and make a contribution as we look beyond 2018. So we've also been investing in the future as we've restructured the business. On the portfolio, 2 years ago, I stood up and said that we thought about 37 assets was the right number. I think at that time, 2 years ago, we had about 54 assets in the portfolio. And so we're actually sitting on the number that we targeted. The only asset that we really sold that we were, or we would have liked to have kept, was the asset that Jason referred to, niobium phosphate. But I will remind people that we sold the asset for 50% above consensus value, and I think everybody agreed at the time it was the right thing to do, given where our debt was, given where the leverage was, given the things we had to do. And so for us, it was a no-regrets decision, and certainly, I think, a good one for us. I don't intend to give anybody a lecture on operations, so for those at the back who are a bit worried that they're going to have to read the overhead, don't worry, I'm not going to talk to it. I only make two key points. Firstly, on the left-hand side at the top, we're showing how we think about running a business, looking at how we can improve it by getting control, using the industrial approach, and improving it over time, without spending capital. It's intellectual capital that we apply, not dollars. A very good example of that success and that approach in practice has been our Mogalakwena operation in South Africa. And for us, it's a metaphor for the way we run the business. A 35% improvement, not one lick of capital spent in improving that operation, and still a lot more to come. We're currently at about 420,000 ounces. We think 500 is about the right number without any step changes in capital investment. And for us, that's the way the business should run. It's about making sure people don't use capital as an excuse to fix things that we should be doing ourselves. And that is what we've been doing right across the portfolio in delivering improved production. On the other end, on the marketing side, we're also just as focused on making sure we're improving our realised prices. In 2007, we were taking a fairly substantial discount on the price that we receive for our products, and we've got a very good quality product, but we weren't getting the prices we should for that product. Today, we're doing better than most in our prices. These prices do move around a bit, but you can see the relative improvements from a 13% discount to over 12% on our reference price. There's been a significant turnaround. And when you look right across our commodity suite, we're doing 4% better on realised prices, apples for apples, and that's been very much part of our margin improvement story. So for us, the story is a pretty straightforward one. Despite decreasing the number of assets by 40%, our physical production shown in the columns has actually improved by about 8%. But our production per person employed is up 41% as measured in 2016 on a fully accounted basis. And if I took the first quarter's results compared to last year with 20% less hours worked right across the business, we're actually up 8% on our quarterly production. So that's a 30% improvement on last year's performance alone, and certainly that's been the key. So what does that mean for us? Well, you can see that in terms of EBIT margins, back in 2012, and the dark blue shows what we reported as an EBITDA margin. We don't actually report apples for apples, so we've taken out diamond marketing, so purchase and sale of diamonds, and the purchase and sale of platinum concentrate to give you a better sense of apples for apples EBITDA margin from the industrial business. We're about 30% in 2012. Despite over a 20% reduction in prices, in 2017 we're better than a 35% margin. So you can see the price decline that we've eaten through that period, but there you can see margins have actually improved 5%, and for us that's the key. And we would estimate, in our own view, that we're about 50% of the way through the restructuring and the improvement programs across the assets, given we've still got 37 assets. There's still a lot of work and a lot of opportunities to be had. If I just show that price deck, it gives you a sense of what the annual prices for our products have done. That's what our cash flow improvement has looked like as we've unloaded the original project spends. And by the way, five major projects from 2013. We hit everyone, delivered each of them ahead of schedule and about $1 billion under budget on an aggregate basis. So the control that we've demonstrated in the operations has been replicated in the projects that we had to complete that we started with back in 2013. Cash flow is improving, reflecting both the capital changes and the operating cost improvements that we've delivered. And as a consequence, and I go back to the 2013 commitment to the market that we deliver a 15% return on capital employed, that's what we're delivering so far at spot in 2017. And again, a lot of work still to be done. So the story is still very much one that is developing, unfolding, with still a lot more to be done, but the foundations are in place and a lot of the hard work's done, but a lot of the work that we do going forward is different by nature and it's more in the detail, but significant opportunities still exist. We start any conversation on improvement and where to from here with our conversation around capital allocation. We use the words disciplined. In the last 4 years, we've committed $100 million to new projects that weren't already committed, which is the building of one of our diamond ships that had less than a 12-month payback. And for us, the potential inside the portfolio was so significant that we didn't have to go out and throw money around, not the least of which we didn't have the money to throw around, but the discipline that we're driving through the business is getting the things done that we can see where the opportunities are. And in our industry, we are notoriously bad at understanding and driving improvements, particularly if we've got good assets. So for us, the focus is on driving the debt down, returning dividends to our shareholders, incremental improvements where we see short payback opportunities as we continue to improve the portfolio where it makes best sense, and in the longer term, making sure that the shareholder returns are competing with the projects that we've got available to us, and we're not scared to return more capital back to the shareholders if we don't have great projects to invest and continue to improve the company. At the moment, we see some great opportunities both ways. In terms of capital, we've been asked the question, have you been starving the business of capital? From our point of view, a resounding no. We were wasting our capital. We've got the discipline back in the business. For us, we've got 40% less assets. We've rebuilt our whole capital allocation process. And from our point of view, we've improved the way we actually implement capital. So, for example, our mine development, we've improved our underlying efficiencies by 30%. So the capital reductions you've seen in Anglo American are replicable, they're based on efficiency improvements, and from our point of view, support the business going forward. In terms of the profile and the business that we have today in copper, we've got a great resource endowment, two great assets, focused on long-life, low-cost assets. Still a lot more work to be done to improve the operating costs. But we've also got greenfields potential, and I'll talk a little bit about the way we think about investing in new opportunities. We take more of an oil and gas approach to those sort of opportunities, which, again, is quite different to what's being done in the industry. De Beers, a leading position in diamonds, will continue to nurture that position. We've got some great incremental opportunities to improve our production, but we'll do that aligned with the market. And so from our point of view, the latent capacity we've got available to us is certainly going to provide us with some great potential over the next 3 to 5 years. Again, matching our pace of improvement with the market is going to be a very important way of making sure that we continue to improve our returns in De Beers. Precious metals has been very much a portfolio reconstruction story. We've taken our own mine production down 40% as we've taken out high-cost production, so the discipline we've shown in closing shaft has been second to none in the industry. More of that still has to occur. What we have done is we've continued to improve those low-cost assets like Mogalakwena with no capital. Our platinum business doesn't need to spend capital to continue to improve. It is a new base, it is a new business, and I would argue it is the investable asset or package of assets in the platinum industry. Iron ore, coal, two great positions in terms of quality. In particular in met coal, very low cost operations with incremental improvement opportunities. And in iron ore, as I showed you before, we've continued to improve our position, not the least of which we've taken 60% out of our cost base at Kumba, and along with Minas Rio, with where we're pitching our production at the moment, we've got a high quality product. So for us, it's about focus on margins and returns. And in each one of those commodities, we've got continuing opportunities to improve the business. Now, we have a slightly different view to Ivan in terms of there are no bad commodities. Cobalt wasn't ever a bad commodity. There are just great or bad projects. There are great projects that are in the bad projects. So from our point of view, we're not trying to pick commodities. We see some natural advantages in terms of where we are in the cycle today. But at the same time, the spread that we've got in our portfolio is quite unique. And certainly for those out there looking for a different exposure, I think we've got the portfolio. And more importantly for us, and this is where I start, the investment proposition, we've got the quality of assets across those commodities that I think can continue to drive our improvement through the cycle. So in terms of the assets, high quality, as in cost and margin potential, also with longer term options to improve and certainly grow with the right capital allocation. Certainly the natural diversification in the portfolio is very strong, and again for us, an important advantage. We've rebuilt the capabilities in the organisation, whether that's in the operations, whether that's through the technical work. We're leading innovation in a number of areas. We've done a lot of work on the marketing front. And for anybody working on the sustainability front, it's absolutely critical to make sure that you don't experience major disruptions in the business, and ultimately it's a key to improving your cost base. We have a naturally diversified portfolio. We're not dependent or too dependent on any one commodity, so the earnings mix is quite a different one. We don't need to buy or grow to achieve true diversification. So the likelihood of us going out there and buying something because we have to diversify is extremely low. We are exposed to early, mid and late cycle commodities, and we've got quality in each one of those commodities. In South Africa, we're working through the restructuring. Our capital employed is now down to 25%. We will continue to reduce that footprint, but at the same time, we know how to operate in South Africa. We've been very successful over a long period of time. We know Africa. We know most of the jurisdictions that Ivan was talking about. And so from our point of view, again, a natural advantage in terms of what we have and what capabilities we have within the organisation. So finally, in putting a proposition to you as potential shareholders, and I see everyone as a potential shareholder, we'd stress the quality of the assets, some naturally there and have been there for a period of time, others we've created through the improvements that we've driven through the business, and uniquely diversified portfolio, a very different exposure for a shareholder. Secondly, we've been rebuilding capabilities and learning not from the mining industry, because in my view it's one of the certainly least innovative industries around. We've learned from other industries, and we're drawing expertise and ideas from a range of other industries, and the innovation opportunities that are available to us are significant and will certainly be a theme of our conversation the next year or two. And then finally, that focus on capital discipline that we've demonstrated over the last 4 years. We've got an attractive set of low-cost opportunities to improve the business, rapid payback, and certainly from our point of view, we've demonstrated the ability to both deliver on those opportunities and get the best out of those opportunities across the portfolio. And for us, driving the balance sheet, driving the debt so that we remain conservative, our EBIT net DAR ratio less than one means that we'll remain conservative in our choices on the balance sheet so that we can be a counter-cyclical investor. And for us, over the long term, that's the way to make money in this industry. Keep your head while all others are losing theirs. And so, if I can leave you with a final thought. In the last 4 years, we've undertaken probably the most significant restructure our organisation has ever seen in 100 years, and probably one of the most significant restructures in the industry for many years. And while we remain clearly a works in progress, we are already delivering a 20% free cash flow per yield per share. So it's not about what we're going to tomorrow, it's what we're doing today and what we're delivering today, and about what opportunities we have to continue to improve the business for the future. This story is not simply a 2016 story. This story is only just starting. We've got a long way to go. Very happy to take questions, Jason.
Thanks. Well, look, we've got some time for questions. Maybe I'll ask the first one. And really, Mark, it's probably two. One, how should we think about the South Africa issue, the South Africa overhang? And then beyond that, you know, would you think about some more dramatic approach to releasing the value in Anglo American? And I guess breakup is a question that people often ask about.
Okay. Well, firstly, on South Africa, what people don't see that we see is the restructuring that we've done in the last 3 years in particular, where we've taken up to 60% of the cost base out of those operations. It's very clear that if you're focused and you do it the right way, you can improve and deliver real change in South Africa, period. And that's what we've done. Mm. We've also said some of those assets in South Africa didn't fit our long-term profile of where we thought we could make material improvements. So we've sold Rustenburg, and people said that couldn't be done. We've sold, you've heard of the deal a couple of weeks ago, to Seriti, the smaller scale thermal coal assets. So we'll continue to make those changes on an incremental basis, and our capital employed has gone from about 60% to 25%, I think over about 15 years, and in particular we've accelerated that reduction. And so by the time we're finished, we'll be less than 20% of our capital employed. We're engaged with the government. It is noisy, but at the same time we've got a very constructive dialogue. It will take a little bit of time. We've got to be patient. The good news is every one of our assets is generating cash and they're delivering good returns. So we'll continue to work that through and take the right time to make sure we deliver value. Now, in terms of delivering value for shareholders, at a 20% cash return per share, we're already, we think, delivering the numbers, and we will continue to improve. So when I first started in this industry, somebody said cash flow is king, and that's what we're delivering. So we think the best way we can improve value is to continue to improve on that critical metric, at the same time making sure our returns are well north of 15%, so we're using people's money wisely, and on that basis we will be given the value in the share price that we believe should be there. So that's the best way for us to deliver value. That's what we're focused on.
I'm just going to push you a little bit, Mark. So breakup, no?
Well, not from our point of view. Our job is to run the business and run the business well. I'd argue that in the last 4 years, we've done a solid job, more to be done. We will keep improving the business. We'll keep driving cash flow. And at the end of the day, the world will do what it will do.
Okay. Any questions from the floor? There's one here, please. Can I get a microphone up front? She's coming right there. Right there. Thank you.
Morning. Just had a quick question about the Quellaveco project in Peru, if you could give us an update on that.
Sure. With Quellaveco, we will finish our technical work, which has really been focused on driving the capital intensity down, along with our operating costs, to make sure that we've got the best project we believe that can be delivered. We will then look at the market. Our intention is to syndicate the project, take our 82% down to probably 51%. If all things went well and towards sometime during 2018 we wanted to bring it forward, what we would likely do then is syndicate at that point, use the cash flow from that syndication to pay our way for 2019, so our debt will continue to be dropping. And so if you're then spending on the project 20, 21, 22, we bring the project on at about the time Ivan was pointing to a major gap in the copper industry. We're not sure that's right yet. We want to watch the market a bit more. We want to be confident that what we're doing is right. But for us, the syndication approach is very important, very similar to the oil and gas guys. You don't know what you don't know, but certainly from our point of view, we do have a track record in the last 4 years of delivering on our commitments, so we'll make sure all those pieces are right and we'll do it the right way, and we'll share the risk.
Any other questions from the floor? It's one at the back there. Thank you.
You mentioned Ivan's presentation a few times. Are you open to more geographically problematic jurisdictions such as the DRC, Russia, places like that?
I think Anglo-American has probably got one of the better track records in more interesting jurisdictions. It is our view that you have to go where the resources are. There are no jurisdictions that scare us in that respect. However, you've got to be very careful, you've got to make sure you're engaged, and you've got to have the right expertise to do it. So we won't go anywhere we're not comfortable with, but at the same time, we recognise that you've got to follow the resources. So I'm aligned with Ivan in that regard. I think Glencore and Anglo American are probably the two most successful operators in a range of jurisdictions. That's a core capability we've kept. And at the right time, I don't think it's right yet. I think we've got lots of opportunities inside our current portfolio. So from our point of view, there's no need to jump out any further. But at the right time, we'll look in the right places, certainly looking for high-quality, long-term resources.
Any other questions? Okay, could you join with me, please, in thanking Mark for his presentation?